Turn it on. All right. I want to turn this morning to the second chapter of Luke's Gospel. Luke 2. Let us begin with verse 39. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. For the past few weeks, we have been exploring some of the specifics in regard to growth, as we found there in Ephesians 4, grow up into Christ in all things. Today, I want to take this message from verse 40, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. And this is exactly what God wants us to do whenever we also grow. We have seen quite a number of times that the path that Jesus took on earth, his life was actually a pattern for our own spiritual experience. He began as a child. Spiritually, we began as a child. Then, as we find here, he grew. This child grew and indeed waxed strong in spirit and also filled with wisdom. I would notice that these same words were also spoken of John the Baptist in Luke 1:80. The child grew and waxed strong in spirit. Then we read that he was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel, meaning that John the Baptist grew as a child. He waxed strong in spirit, as did Jesus. And all of that was in preparation for the ministry that God had for him. And he was in the desert till the day that he showed himself unto Israel for the tremendous ministry that God had committed into his hand. You will notice here in Jesus' experience, he waxed strong in spirit. And then the next thing that we read of him, as we see in verse 12, or 42 rather, when he was 12 years old, they went to Jerusalem. We remember that story of going up to Jerusalem, and his parents left him there, not knowing that they had done so. They went back to find him about 3 days later. And as you notice down in verse 49, he said to them, "How is it that you sought me? Did you not know I must be about my Father's business?" And so he had come to this place where he knew at the age of 12 what he was going to do. That is, that he must be about God's priority and God's business. They didn't understand that, but if you'll notice in verse 51, we read this. He went down with them and he came to Nazareth. And he was subject unto them. And his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. But notice again in verse 52. Jesus increased, or indeed he grew in wisdom, in stature. He grew in favor with God. He grew in favor with man. He waxed strong in spirit. He was, as we would say, strong indeed in the Lord. This same pattern, once again, must be repeated in our own experience. Paul specifically prayed for the saints in Ephesians 3:16, and he said this, "Pray that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." We too must be strong in spirit as was Jesus. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 4:16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish." And do we ever see that going on around us? Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man, this new man, this inner man, is renewed, and I want to emphasize it, day by day. It is a constant experience of growing in such a manner and becoming strong in the Lord, strong in spirit. It is a constant thing. I want to turn to the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians and notice that Paul makes this statement once again insofar as being strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6, verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." To put this in context, this word "finally" means that this is the fourth point that Paul has expressed. And what he started in the fifth chapter when he said that we are to indeed be filled with the Spirit. Verse 18 of that chapter says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And then he gives four major manifestations. Chapter 6 and 10 is the fourth point of that. And I want to notice that the power of the Holy Ghost is so important in our lives if we are going to be strong in the Lord. But when Paul makes this statement, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might," that's not something that just occurs all at once, nor it is something that you can just automatically say at this time, "Well, I'll be strong in the Lord." I want to notice that the pattern in our lives follows exactly the same one in Jesus. We must indeed grow in order to become strong in the Lord. It comes over a process of time. We saw it in the life of Jesus, and it's so important that we're going to see in our lives. Jesus was subject to his parents. After the age of 12, or after they went up to Jerusalem at that time, we read, as we did there in Luke, that he went back down to Nazareth and he was subject to his parents. And that is when, again, the scripture says he increased, or he grew in wisdom. He grew in stature. And we know that that was undoubtedly speaking of his physical being. But it also tells us in our own case, especially, of a spiritual stature. In favor with God, he grew in that. He grew in favor with man. The same thing must be true in our lives as we grow and wax strong in spirit the same way that he did. We know that there are stages of development in our life just the same once again as it was with Jesus. But it comes in process of time. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians, and he addressed them there as my little children. But he makes it very plain he didn't want them to stay there. That book is devoted to the fact that Paul wanted them to grow out of that state of infancy and into a state of being a son of God. He tells us in that book that children, though they're born of God, children are no better than servants if they don't grow out of that state. Both of them have the same thing in common. They are in bondage, and we cannot develop spiritually if we are still bound. And Paul's great complaint in Galatians is they were bound by the law. There are many things that can bind people and keep them from that full growth in Christ. The law is one of them. But Paul tells them, indeed, that they are to come to that place where they are mature sons of God. And we are talking here about the inner man. This inward man that is renewed day by day. We must experience that if we are going to come to that place and find our full strength in the Lord, indeed, as Jesus demonstrated. Let us turn to the 12th chapter of Hebrews, where Paul again gives us some marvelous instruction in regard to our growth in Christ. This instruction of becoming strong in the Lord, indeed as sons of God and not simply as children. Hebrews 12, and we begin with verse 6. Whom the Lord loveth, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. I know there are many elements that we could consider in becoming strong in the Lord. I want to see only two of them in the remainder of this message. And the first one is that chastening is absolutely imperative if we're ever going to reach that goal of becoming so strong in the Lord as sons of God, following the same path and pattern that Jesus did. And so here in our text, we read in verse 6, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Verse 7, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? This same thing was true in the life of Jesus. Again, he started out as the child, but he grew and he waxed strong in spirit. One of those reasons we've already seen expressed here, demonstrated, as he went back down to Nazareth and indeed was subject to his parents and again experienced this increase that we noted. We'll not turn there, just a few chapters over, but Hebrews 5:8 says it this way. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus was the creator associated. He was a part of that great Godhead, the creator of the world. And yet this master came down and became a man. Of course he had to learn obedience. All he knew before was authority. But as a man, he learned obedience. The scripture says, by the things which he suffered. That same pattern is true in our lives. We have often spoke of chastening, the fact that chastening is not simply punishment for wrongdoing. Chastening is instruction or correction. And Jesus had to learn those same things by the things which he suffered, as the scripture says. We must indeed travel that same path. In these verses, Paul uses, as he often does, natural illustrations to get his point across. And so he tells us in verse 9, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. I am sure that no one will disagree with me that a major part of the problem in this country and around the world is because that children no longer respect or reverence their parents. We see it over and over. It is appalling how that some children are actually dictating to their parents. God never intended that. God never intended that we should dictate to him and he won't stand for it. But it is happening in our world. And the scripture tells us, as Paul does here, they disciplined us, they chastened us, they instructed us, and we reverenced them, or we respected them for it. But again, I say, that is lacking in our society and the society around the world. It is absolutely imperative that we connect the two together. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. A parent chastens or instructs his children because he loves them. And there again is no substitute for that. And so we find out that God indeed is doing exactly the same thing in our lives. And so he continues here in verse 9, we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? They verily for a few days. And let's understand it. It is for just a few days. It is not for the rest of their lives. We only have a few days to instruct and to teach and to chasten and to pass along these values. There comes a time when every child must make his own decisions, and he will. We can only pray that they make the right ones. But I can say this. I have talked to some parents who were literally trying to blame themselves for the way their children have turned out. I'll tell you, I have lived a few years on this earth, and I've never yet met a perfect parent. I've never yet met a parent who never made a mistake. But one thing I know is that there comes a day when those children must be and they will be held accountable for their own mistakes, and they cannot blame their parents for what they may or may not have done. And so we have the few days, yes, to discipline, to chasten, to instruct, to train. All of those words are a part of chastening. And so after a few days, they chasten us for their own pleasure. That doesn't mean that they enjoyed punishing or correcting, disciplining. When it says here, after their own pleasure, it means according to the standard that pleased the Father. It means according to their righteous standards that they instructed their children. But notice God. This is what we want to see today in relation to our own chastening before the Lord. He has a certain purpose that he is working in order that we might become strong in the Lord, the power of his might, that we might become strong in spirit. Notice, they after a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit. And this is what we must understand. If we are ever going to really become strong in spirit, one of the processes that we go through is chastening. And one of the reasons is this, that we might be partakers of his holiness. It is not a matter of trying to imitate what would be right and wrong. God is working in us the very spirit of holiness, where that we are motivated by the spirit and the holiness of God to do what we do. We are partakers because of His instruction, because of His chastening, because of the experience that He uses to work the very attitude of holiness in our lives. So it's not something you put on for some people to observe at certain points. Holiness must be who we are because of the character that God has developed in our lives. Jesus grew and became strong in spirit. And you and I must do exactly the same thing in following exactly the same path. Notice further in verse 11, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous. We can all attest to that. But grievous, nevertheless, afterward. Notice some more of what is worked in us, what becomes a part of our character, what indeed is a part of being strong in spirit. It yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. But you will notice it is only under those that are exercised. They are trained. They are chastened in order to accomplish it. This is what God will do in order to make us strong in spirit. Then the second example I would use of becoming strong in the Lord. Let's turn to a very familiar verse in Isaiah 40. This is a favorite of so many, one that we have claimed, many have claimed and rejoiced in. Put to the test down through the years, and it works. And so we read Isaiah 40, and in verse 31, if we are going to become strong in the Lord, here's one thing we must absolutely learn in our lives. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Wait upon the Lord. This is another part of that submission, that subjection. You see it in the life of Jesus, always waiting for God's time, what God wanted to do, the path He wanted to take. We could cite a number of examples of doing that, but suffice it to say, Jesus waited on His Father's time. And the same thing is true of us. This little word, wait, is so very important. It literally means to bind together by twisting. And that term simply means that we are bound together, we are twisted together in order to become one with Him. It's not Him becoming one with us and going our way. It's a matter of us being twisted to the point where that we are bound together with Him as one. And so we are bound together with the Lord, becoming one with Him. This word also means to expect. It means to look patiently. And that's not hard to figure out, that we are looking patiently to Him, waiting for Him, bound together with Him. It is imperative that we wait on the Lord. If our strength is going to be renewed. And again, as the Apostle Paul told us there in Corinthians, the new man is renewed. The inward man is renewed day by day. And I am absolutely confident that this is experience that we really can have daily. And the further we go, it seems like the more necessary it is to be renewed daily in such a manner. And so I want to notice the rest of this verse. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Because they are strong in spirit, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Oh, how we love that verse. Because it means that we mount up in spirit above everything that is going on round about us. We begin to take our place literally in the heavenlies. Recognize we're no longer a part of this world. We are in the world, as Jesus said of the disciples, but we are not of it. And more we're coming to realize that. And more we're coming to feel that. We don't feel at home here. We're out of place here. And in spirit, we actually mount up with wings as eagles. It tells us of that glorious feeling that we have of being separated, even though that things around us may not be going so well. Our spirits soar away as an eagle to be joined unto the Lord. And we're not in denial. We're not just ignoring the difficulties and troubles. We simply have victory in spirit over them. Even though the body, the outward man, may be perishing, the inward man is renewed day by day on the strength of the flying eagle. They shall run and not be weary. I can tell you for a fact, I don't run much anymore because I just don't have the energy to do it. We are speaking here of running spiritually, but what I'm talking about is that in order to run, you must have some energy. Sometimes we feel that glorious, energetic power of the Holy Ghost. We are running full tilt many times when we are filled with the power of the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues. We are running full tilt sometimes when we are accomplishing great things and things that satisfy us, things that satisfy God in ministry. We feel like we are putting all of this energy, and indeed we are, into these things that are both important and they are rewarding. You shall run and not faint. But notice the last one. They shall walk and not faint. Walking is different than running. The walk is the day-to-day, slow, often hidden and obscure. No one apparently taking any kind of notice. Observe it yourself. You see people walking down the street. You don't pay any attention to them. Everybody's just walking, ambling along. Now see how your eyes perk up if you see somebody running. You know something's wrong, they're trying to get away, or something's happening. You see, this is the way our lives are many times. When we are simply walking, it's often a matter nobody's paying any attention. Doesn't make any difference. It's almost ho-hum and humdrum. Monotonous. Tedious. I think there comes a time when that may be what describes most of our lives. But here's the point. When we wait on the Lord and our strength is renewed, we can walk and not faint. It doesn't make any difference how slow and arduous and unassuming and not too illustrative and all of these various things. No big show here, but bless God, we're still walking. We have not fainted. We have not stopped. And this is exactly what God wants to do in our experience. This is why that we too, today, we must grow and wax strong in spirit. And we may be walking or ambling along, but we are still faithful and joined unto the Lord in His every purpose for us.